يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome back to our series on the exegesis, the commentary, the understanding of Suratul Jummah, chapter number 62 in the Noble Quran. Up until this point, we've gone over the traits of Allah, the roles and responsibilities of the final messenger of Allah. We've looked briefly at those who would be coming after the Prophet. And today in our discussion, looking at verse number 5, we want to completely change our attention to a new topic that Allah has in store for us. And although it is completely new, I say that also at the same time it is related, and we'll see how it's related to the previous verses that we have been discussing up until this point. However, before we go into our commentary, let us listen to the Arabic recitation of this particular verse and also its English translation.
مثل الذين حملوا التوراة ثم لم يحملوها كمثل الحمار يحمل أسفارا بئس مثل القوم الذين كذبوا بآيات الله والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين.
The example of those who were charged with the Torah, then failed to carry, to act upon it, is that of a donkey carrying books. Evil is the example of the people who deny God's signs, and God does not guide the wrongdoing lot. Now, up until this point, we have been looking at the beautiful traits of Allah. We spoke about the four-pronged responsibility of the Messenger of Allah. And now it seems that the focus is changing. And although it is changing, it is now looking at the followers of the Prophet and of previous prophets as well as an extension. But it seems that this verse is very harsh in its condemnation of a particular group of individuals, namely those who are given the Torah, the book that Prophet Moses was charged to give to his community. Because as we see in the verse, Allah says that those who were given the Torah and who failed to act upon it, their example, their similitude, their parable is like a donkey carrying books. And then Allah says that, you know, what an evil group of people this would be that are given a divinely revealed book, are given a prophet, a scripture, and they fail to act upon it. And then indeed God does not guide these oppressive individuals. So at first glance, again, this seems very harsh, very crass. How can Allah compare a person, a human being, which is the best of creations, how could He compare such an individual to a donkey, to an animal that people use for domestic work, you know, in the farms, in the fields? But going through our discussion, we'll see that this is not only related to people who are given the Torah, but rather it can and it does include Muslims, people who have been given previous books, whether it be the Christians or any of the previous dispensations that we don't even know their names and their books and their prophets that come to them. So why does God enter into this sort of a discussion in Suratul Jummah? Again, we mentioned that Allah is not singling out only one particular identifiable group here, but rather He's giving us a parable, a similitude. He is saying that look at history. Look at previous nations that came before you, O Muslims. Look at how they dealt with their heavenly book. Look at how they interacted with their prophet and the successors of their prophet. And when you study the previous nations and their way of life and how they were acting and reacting and interacting with their prophet and book, and you see in their history maybe that they were not always faithful and truthful to the message, then you as Muslims need to realize that you should not be treading that same path. Because if you do, then you also fall into the category of this group of people that are being spoken about in Suratul Jummah. So again, this is not a condemnation of a complete group of individuals or a people who follow a specific book. They are giving it as an example. And we use examples in our day-to-day life, even with our children, maybe at work we use it with our students. we will give them an example, you know, don't do this, don't be like that person, don't be like those you see on television, don't be like this, don't be like that. Why? Because we find maybe the worst examples, or we find examples which are not worthy of emulation, and we tell our children, we tell individuals, don't be like that, be in a different way. And so this is one of the modes that Allah employs in the Quran, is He uses a parable, an example, to give us how we should act by comparing and contrasting them with our with what we should be doing. So two points that we have of understanding in this particular verse, which are as follows. One is that this verse holds true for every community who have been given a divinely inspired and sent book. However, they fail to act upon it, presuming that they are the chosen people or the saved nation. That they should not think that just because they had a prophet come to them or a book, that now they are guaranteed salvation. No, they have to read that book, they have to act and implement that book in their day-to-day life if they want to be of a saved or a people who are actually worthy of salvation in the next world. The second understanding we have of this verse is that this is a warning to us as Muslims that we were given a prophet, just like all the previous prophets came to other communities. We are given a book, the Quran, just as all other nations or many other nations were given a book for their own community. And if we fail to act and follow the life of the Messenger of Allah, if we fail to follow the teachings of the Quran, then we are no better than those nations who came before us, and we ourselves can fit this example of being as donkeys carrying books. So again, Allah is not condemning them for for no reason at all, but rather He is saying that this is an example in history, and you as Muslims and any other generation have to ensure that you don't fall into the same pit that other previous nations have fallen into. Let us look at ourselves as Muslims in this 21st century. In an age of enlightenment and technology and the information age and information being at the tips of our fingers, literally, with a touch of a screen with our finger, we are able to access the Quran, the sayings of the Prophet, billions of pages of articles and lectures and audio and video are at the tips of our fingers. But how do Muslims deal with the Quran in today's day and age? You know, one of the first things that people do when they get a new computer or a new smartphone or a new tablet is to customize it. We'll make sure all of our apps are on that, all of our accounts are there, our Facebook, our Twitter, our Instagram, our LinkedIn, Snapchat, whatever else we use. We want to make sure all of our accounts are set up on that phone. The apps are there, our media is loaded into it. And then many times people will look for a screensaver or a wallpaper. And people will choose many different pictures. Some people will use verses of the Quran. And there's no problem with that. But is your interaction with the Quran only limited to that picture on your wallpaper? Is it only the app on your smartphone? Is that your only interaction with the Quran, is to have the app there or the picture there? Or do you actually use read or listen to the Quran with that app? We also spend thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars in decorating our homes, and people put up paintings and murals and this and that, and now the big craze is Arabic calligraphy. Have a verse of the Quran, have a hadith on your wall. Again, there is no problem with it in and of itself, but is this the only usage of the Quran in our lives, is to decorate our home, to make a wall, you know, filled in with ayat of the Quran? A beautiful thing again, but it is not the ultimate goal of the Quran. We decorate our cars. You'll see people hanging verses of the Quran on their rear view mirror for protection, for safety, for beauty, for whatever the case may be. But again, is this only our only interaction with the verses of the Quran, is to decorate our car so that people know that we're a Muslim, for example, or that we can read this verse before we go on our journey? We see that people will make what we call a ta'weedh, an amulet, a prayer amulet, with verses of the Quran for their children, for protection. And yes, there is Islamic basis to this, to use the verses of the Quran in this way. But again, is it the only purpose of the verses of the Quran? Again, no, this is one use, but it is not the ultimate use of the ayat of the Quran. We also know that when people have weddings, even though the entire wedding may be a mixed gathering with music and dance and mixing of the genders and disregard of Islamic rules, but it is an obligation, and we say that obviously jokingly, they find it to be an obligation to start with a surah of the Quran, a passage of the Quran, as if that 5 minutes of Quran can negate all of the forbidden that will take place once the Quran recitation is completed. We also read the Quran when a person passes away, again a very noble, virtuous act, but the Quran, as Surah Yasin tells us, is not a book for the dead. It is a book that Allah says is for the living and to give life to our spiritual heart. But we employ the Quran at a funeral, at a graveyard, for the dead. But you know what? We need the Quran more than the dead. Our hearts are dead. Our hearts are spiritually mortified, and we need the Quran in our heart to enliven us, to give us a second life. We also see that people now make lines of clothing, of apparel, of t-shirts, of baseball caps with verses of the Quran emblazoned on them, that we're wearing our religion, literally. And again, maybe there's no problem with it, but our interaction with Quran and the religion should not just be a line of clothing that is now being made hip and popular and that we want to, you know, jump on the bandwagon and wear these sorts of styles. And last, but obviously not least, is that people think that I can recite a specific verse to get through immigration or customs or for, you know, some form of protection to happen. And again, maybe there may be some application of this, but ultimately this is not why Allah revealed the Quran. This is not the reason. We close with a tradition, a saying from the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, in relation to this example that Allah gave of the donkey carrying books, because again, it was a very harsh, stark example of a reality of our life. But let us see how the Prophet of Allah has spoken about the individual who has knowledge, who has the books, but they don't follow in what they are being taught and what they are teaching. The Prophet says the following in this hadith. The scholars are of two types. The scholar who takes from his knowledge, meaning that he acts upon it, and this is the saved one. And the scholar who disregards his knowledge and does not act according to it, and this is the one who is destroyed. Indeed, the inhabitants of the hellfire will be annoyed by the putrid smell of the scholar who disregarded and did not act according to his knowledge. And indeed, the most remorseful and heartbroken of the inhabitants of the hellfire is that person who used to call the servants towards Allah, and they answered his call and accepted it. And that person obeyed Allah, and so Allah would permit entry of that person into paradise, while he would cause the one who is inviting to Allah to the hellfire, due to him not acting according to his knowledge, and because of his following his lower desires and having long drawn out unattainable desires. Therefore, as for the following of the lower desires, this will prevent a person from realizing the truth. And as for unattainable goals, this makes one forget the next life. So we see clearly that the Prophet of Allah is telling us that people who have knowledge, people who have been given instruction in religious teachings, people who have this knowledge within them but they don't act upon it, their outcome is perhaps far worse than the example Allah gave of the donkey. Rather, the Messenger of Allah tells us that their smell is so putrid that it would be just something unfathomable and you know, something which the people of the hellfire even would find disgust in. And so as we close, we remember and we remind ourselves that we also have to be of those who uphold the teachings of the Quran, the teachings of Islam, the teachings of our Prophet and of his infallible successors, if we wish to be removed from being of those whom Allah speaks about in terms of this particular verse as being donkeys carrying books, just wandering around aimlessly. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.